I was thinking of titling this week Earth Sign Drama. Because I feel like there's a few things that are a little bit dramatic in the Earth Signs this week that we should probably discuss. And it's interesting because when you think of the Earth Signs, it's like, what, that's like the least dramatic of all the signs, right? Like the Earth Signs are supposed to be grounded and they're supposed to be sort of seeing things logically and analytically and connected to the sort of material manifestation of it all, right? So when we do have some drama in the Earth Signs, I think that we may find that this week is sort of changing our perception on certain things, especially in the material world. I think it's possible that, like, literal, like, job things, home things could be coming up for a change just because Earth feels very physical to me at times. Sav, you said, I've had two of the craziest months of my life. Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, I could imagine, Sav, too, because you are Leo rising and that Venus retrograde has been going through the first house. So I could imagine it's been a bit dramatic. Hey, Annie, it's good to see you. Hey, Alexandra. Hey, Allie. Yeah, so we'll talk about that this week because we're about to have two planets retrograde. Well, we'll stick to, we have some of the outer planets in retrograde, but whatever. That I'm not that concerned about. But we do have Mercury stationing retrograde on Wednesday. And we're a little over halfway through Venus retrograde. So what does that mean when both Mercury and Venus are retrograde at the same time? It's a little bit of a doozy, right? Like there's a little bit of a reassessment in the air. Even when we like come across the reflection in our lives, like Ellis, you said, there's been a lot of rapid changes. I'm feeling unstable. Sav, going back to what you said, I've had the craziest 2 months of my life. You know, that is Earth sign drama. Earth sign drama makes us feel a little bit unstable. And you may be asking, wait, Mal, I thought Venus was retrograde in Leo. Yes, that's true, but guess what? Now, this is the part of the Venus retrograde where Venus is revisiting the square to Jupiter in Taurus. Okay, so even though Venus is retrograde in Leo, a fire sign, she's currently under a really big square influence from Jupiter, you know, the planet of expansion in Taurus. So I think this could result in a little bit of instability, especially because, you know, if we really want to put things in like hyper simplistic terms, I'm not necessarily saying this is how I view astrology, but like hyper simplistic. Venus, Jupiter, good planets. Mars, Saturn, bad planets, right? And Venus, Jupiter, the good planets, being now in a square with each other at in a sort of a tension aspect this week, pretty much for the rest of Venus retrograde, but especially coming up this week, the good planets are at tension with each other, right? So the good planets are maybe disagreeing a bit with how exactly to make things good, how exactly to move forward in a positive notion. And what tends to happen with Venus square Jupiter, you know, it's a little bit like, oh, you know, someone, you know, like an alcoholic gets released from prison and heads straight to the gambling place, like, you know, it's a bit of an overdoing kind of thing. And why is that? Well, maybe a bit of a weird metaphor, but really, like, when Venus and Jupiter are at tension with each other, we tend to overdo things. We tend to maybe, there's like an exacerbation of our material desires. We might be like, oh, like, I'm gonna eat a ton of sugar, or I'm gonna spend a ton of money that I don't have, or I'm going to, you know, I don't know, like, roll in a pile of dollar bills, or, you know, like, it's a little bit like the material is being corrupted in some way. And that's why I brought the Ten of Wands to our weekly forecast this week, because I think the Ten of Wands says, hey, easy does it. We may be on the cusp of overdoing certain things. Even think about, like, the issues or the challenges that you're having in your life right now. Sometimes I think when we have an issue in our lives, a challenge, it's natural for the human mind to say, how do I get to the other side of this challenge? How do I make this challenge stop? But if have you ever tried to solve an issue, but you went about it maybe too much like a bat out of hell? You know, you were like, oh man, like, I really gotta go up to this friend and tell her how it is. And you end up ruining the friendship when it could have been a better and slower conversation to be had over time. Instead, it was like, oh, I got my guns are blazing up and I'm going in and I'm having this big conversation. There's a tendency when Venus is square to Jupiter to go about problem solving in, like, big, grandiose ways that end up potentially making those problems even worse, because they sort of tempt us to the vibe of, like, an overindulgence or an overdoing it kind of thing, okay? So keep that in mind with the Venus-Jupiter square. Now, that's part one of the Earth sign drama. It's like, okay, Venus is square to Jupiter. The benefics are having a little tussle, you know? You know, I'm trying to think of some other things that I've seen in readings this week that kind of felt Venus-Jupiter-esque. Like, I had a client who, you know, let's say, I'm trying to preserve confidentiality, but I have a client who has just basically gotten, like, the biggest promotion of her life and is, like, heading into this really big leadership role of her career. Like, she's at the top of the top of, like, her career stuff, and she's just, like, exhausted, like going, like, from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, like, working at this goal, because it's like, oh, I had a good thing manifest, which is Venus square Jupiter, but now I'm, like, overdoing it or doing too much because I'm trying to, like, keep the good vibes going, and in turn, I'm totally sort of burning myself out, which is, again, why the Ten of Wands is here, right? You know, that's an example. I think this week, you know, it's possible, like, let's say someone's, like, so sick of, like, their love life being bad, or, like, I don't know, like, sort of, like, dating being really awful, and they just find someone at the bar and they hook up with them. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not something they would typically do. You know, like, that's also, like, a Venus square Jupiter thing. Like, I did something that I wouldn't typically have done, and it was a little bit of, like, an overdoing thing. And in the process, it didn't actually fix anything, and it might have sort of given me another layer of challenge in this thing. Yeah, it's like another thing that's coming to mind is, like, let's say someone's, again, I'm making this up, like, because this is what astrologers do, like, we look at the planets, what they're doing, and we can find the archetype, and then because I'm a creative writing major, I can, like, form the story around the archetype. But, like, let's say someone's holding you hostage, and they're like, all right, give me $10,000, and I'll let you go. Venus square Jupiter is like, all right, yeah, how about I give you $12,000 and I never see you again? And the burglar takes even more money and he's like, wait, you had more to give me? I'm just going to keep taking. You know, like that's sort of like a Venus Jupiter thing too. Again, these I'm going to the extreme. I'm going to the extreme because I think we can kind of see the example better in the extreme and then sort of relate it to our own life. Yeah, the alcoholic getting out of prison and going straight to the casino. Yeah, that's an extreme example. I don't actually know this person, but it's possible that someone's doing that this week because of the Venus square Jupiter. Okay. All right. That's part one of Earth sign drama. Now, part two, this week on Wednesday, August 23rd, Mercury will station retrograde in Virgo. Okay, so interesting because what I find, so now we have the retrograde in Virgo, and then we have the square from Jupiter coming from Taurus. And something I'm noticing just about Wednesday, like the Mercury stationing point, like let's even go to the exact hour Mercury's going to station retrograde. Let's see here. It'll be like around 3 p.m. Central, August 23rd. Interesting day in general. I would flag Wednesday, the 23rd this week, as kind of a day where, you know, I wouldn't make any rash decisions. I wouldn't say anything risky to anybody. You know, I wouldn't have maybe an important conversation that day because it feels a little bit too emotionally loaded. Like, this day's a little bit iffy. I'm not trying to paint an ominous picture. Certainly, some people could have a very regular Wednesday, but what I see is Mercury stations retrograde around 3 p.m. Central. The sun moves into Virgo that day as well, so happy Virgo season to my Virgo people out there. And also what's interesting is the moon's in Scorpio that day, opposing Uranus, so more Earth sign drama. So I'm thinking, this is kind of a dramatic day on Wednesday. There's like a little bit of like a last straw, like something like that happening on Wednesday. And something I wouldn't normally incorporate into my interpretation, but right now, for some reason, it's feeling really relevant. I'm looking at, again, Mercury stationing retrograde at 21 degrees Virgo on Wednesday, the 23rd. Ooh, Emmy, wow, your mom has a crazy solar return then. Solar return chart, if that's your birthday. So, Mercury stations retrograde, 21 Virgo. The first planet that Mercury meets up with on his retrograde journey is actually not a planet, but a asteroid goddess named Pallas Athena. And I'm like, huh, like, that's interesting. Like, Mercury stationing retrograde pretty much conjunct Pallas Athena. What could that mean? What could that signify? And do I have a podcast on Pallas Athena? I think that might be the one asteroid goddess I've yet to do a episode on. I think that's the last one, because I definitely have one on Ceres, Juno, Chiron, Ceres, Juno, Chiron, Vesta. Yeah, I think I still haven't done Pallas Athena. maybe it's a good time to film the Pallas Athena asteroid goddess episode. I just need to find a guest who wants to talk about Pallas Athena. But if you know anything about the mythology of Pallas Athena, she's kind of like the female version of Jesus in a way, because like in the story of Jesus, he's like an immaculate conception, right? Like Mary supposedly, you know, just gets pregnant, you know, with Jesus. Kind of similar thing with Pallas Athena. She's like the immaculate conception of Zeus. So it's sort of said that Pallas is birthed from the head of Zeus. So there's this like very like hyper intellectualization of this asteroid goddess. Like she comes out of Zeus's head. She's very smart. She's kind of like a Hermione Granger sort of archetype, hyper intellectual. She asks her dad Zeus, can I remain a virgin forever in order to pursue my studies? So she's very much married to studies, her academic and intellectual pursuits. You know, something I think like I might be making this up, but I'm pretty sure like Eleanor Roosevelt had a very strong Pallas Athena. Like we can kind of see that in her archetype. Like even though she did get married, like she was very warrior woman, intellectual warrior archetype, right? We also sometimes see like a sort of daddy's girl thing that goes on with Pallas Athena. Like if someone has a really strong Pallas Athena, they might have a very strong connection with their father in this lifetime, or there's some underlying story of like just a strong relationship with the father. It doesn't have to be that, but I've seen that. Okay. Also, according to Miss Demetra George, the asteroid goddesses, people with strong Pallas Athenas also often enter like the military or, you know, some kind of pursuit of justice. Okay. Not that the military is a pursuit of justice, but you're picking up what I'm putting down. So, anyways, what does it mean that Mercury is stationing retrograde with Pallas Athena? Well, let's read actually what Demetra George says about Pallas and Mercury aspects, okay? And I'll be interested. Comment below if you see any threads of this in your own life, because for me, it's kind of fascinating. So, Pallas and Mercury aspects, the mental creative principles combine with the intellect. This combination greatly heightens the creative intelligence symbolized by Pallas Athena. Harmonious aspects depict strong creative intellectual capacities. These individuals often display power and skill in the use of words and communication. They may be adept in the arts of meditation, negotiation, affirmation, and positive thinking. Now, stressful aspects, which may be slightly more aligned with Mercury stationing retrograde in conjunction with Pallas, stressful aspects signify potential blockages in one's ability to reason, create, and verbally express one's ideas. This aspect may point to learning problems or to perceptual, auditory, or mental dysfunctions. This aspect may point to learning problems. Okay. Or perceptual, auditory, or mental dysfunctions. Okay, so that makes me think, okay, there's something about this Mercury retrograde. We can't hear what others are saying And others can't hear what we're saying if we're over-intellectualizing the conversation and the problem itself. You know? Like, and what are we really saying, right, when we're over-intellectualizing our emotions, our feelings, instead of just feeling them? You know, like, we're actually saying, like, I'm too afraid to go deep into my emotions with you, so I'm gonna keep it at this level of intellectualization of the feeling, of the emotion, you know, instead of really going deep. You know, so there's a little bit of something of, in Mercury retrograde, we're already, especially in Virgo, you know, Virgo is one of Mercury's signs. We're already misusing our words in some way. We're already maybe firing off something that might hurt someone's feelings, or it reminds me of the saying, you can't unsay something. Like, you can't unsay what you say. You can't take back your words. That's very Mercury retrograde, very Mercury retrograde in Virgo specifically. Yeah, you can't take back your words. Once you say something that pings at someone's pain or deepest wound or hurts someone, they can forgive you and you could potentially get past it. But this is a little bit of like a meaner Mercury retrograde. Like, we really want to tell people what we think. We really want to get on our high horse and be like, this is your problem and this is how you should fix it. We're really right. And we're really right and correct about other people's problems in this Mercury retrograde, right? And this Mercury retrograde conjunct Pallas in the beginning, it's like, you know, we're unable to actually perceive other people's emotions or what could be going on beneath the surface, because we may be hyper fixated on the logical, analytical interpretation of the problem itself, right? So, it kind of reminds me of, the difference between a good teacher and, or a good teacher and a bad teacher maybe is too black and white, but maybe a teacher who gets it and a teacher who doesn't, right? Because a teacher who gets it may see a student struggling and may think, that's a good kid. Even if they're, like, a brat in my classroom and they're causing all this trouble, like, I think a teacher who gets it fundamentally sees all their students as good. And they also understand that there's many other factors of home life, what's going on with the family, what's going on with the family's monetary situation, you know, the socioeconomic status of this kid. Like, all of these things may affect this student's behavior in the classroom. So when this student, you know, doesn't do their homework for a week, the teacher who gets it may sort of delay the judgment of, well, this student's lazy, you know? Well, this student has no interest in being here. Now, the teacher who doesn't get it is saying those things, right? They're just completely taking the analytical, logical, these are the facts kind of viewpoint. And I think when we just collect our reality from the basic facts, we might be missing something. And that's what we want to be careful of during this Mercury retrograde in Virgo. Our discernment of the situation is potentially veering a little bit on sort of the very scientific, logical, you know, sort of side of things. And we may be missing some underlying emotional puzzle piece of the situation. So I think finding empathy for others may be a little bit hard in this Mercury retrograde. We just want to let people have it. We just want to say, this is your problem. This is how you should fix it. And if you don't do it my way, quite frankly, you're wrong. But who's going to actually receive that and be like, oh, yeah, thanks, Mel. Thanks for saying that. I'm completely wrong and that I'm doing it wrong. Thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. I will do it your way. You know, like no one's going to react like that, right? So we have to be careful of our words during this Mercury retrograde conjunct Pallas Athena. Now, I think on the other end of the spectrum, Pallas Athena makes this, I think, a very good Mercury retrograde for reevaluating, rescheduling, taking things back to the drawing board, seeing how we could do things differently, developing the plan going forward. There's something there that's coming through with, it's a great time to plan alone in your cave, almost as the hermit does. And the more we get intertwined and twisted with other people's stuff, I think the more likely we are to say things we regret, make choices that are aligned with more of like a intellectual righteousness versus empathy. There's something like that going on right now. And Emmy, you said, this makes me think of creative problem solving. Like, it's time to approach things differently. Oh, totally, totally. I mean, that's very wise. That's a wise way to look at any retrograde, especially as both Mercury and Venus are retrograde now for the rest of the month. It's time to approach something differently. And what does that look like? Let's actually ask. Let's ask the cards. How do we approach XYZ differently? You know, like, how do we approach our challenges differently by using this influence of Mercury and Venus retrograde? Five of Cups. See, here's the avoidance of emotion I feel in the air. Like, that sort of Mercury conjunct Pallas Athena in Virgo, I'm avoiding my emotions in favor of an intellectual assessment that doesn't actually probe that much at how I'm feeling, you know? What was my question, guys, for the cards? I'm having a, I said, how do we approach... Yeah, how do we approach the problem differently? Five of Cups. You know, I actually think the emotions beneath the surface are a little bit harder to access right now. Because of the Earth sign drama, because of the material instability. It's almost like, ooh, maybe it's too much to examine the emotions beneath the surface. But I think at least getting to the root of why we may feel the way we do is important. Like, even like a questioning. We could even do it in a Virgo way. We could even get to our emotions in a Virgo way by asking, like, how do I, like, why is this person triggering me? Why am I mad at this person? What am I feeling? Oh, I'm feeling anger. What is this bringing up in me? What is this reminding me of in childhood? What could be the projection here? Like, you know, like, that's maybe how we have to work with the emotional weather of this moment. But I think it might serve us better than just completely going off in this sort of this analytical, overly mental direction where we can't actually feel into the issue itself. Okay. Emmy, you said, this is super relatable. I always approach things in a watery way, but with the new job, I'm like, ooh, slow down, observe and contemplate before hopping on the empathy train. Totally. And I think this could serve too. Like, it could serve the empaths in a way too, because it makes us a little bit more logical, intellectual, and helps us slow down the emotional process. No, Emmy, I think your interpretation is perfect as well. It's like the other side of the coin that could also be true. And my Rona Recover, you said, I'm totally doing this rationalizing for protection right now. Yeah. So the other thing that Mercury retrograde do? So runs into Pallas first. And at some point, this Mercury retrograde will trine Jupiter. And that's going to happen not until September 4th, which is weird. It's also the day that Venus stations direct. So I don't know, like, there's an interesting thing happening in the next 14 days or so, right? The end of the month all the way up to September 4th, where we're in this process of discovering how we truly feel, how to go through the vetting process of what is, like, an overly emotional reaction and what is an overly analytical reaction, and kind of finding the harmony in between, I suppose. And also, I think there really is something going on with how to go about a material thing, a material challenge, whether that be with our house, our credit card debt, our relationship status, our savings account. Yeah, there's something. There's a material challenge, but it doesn't have to be a bad thing, because I think there's something about the Mercury retrograde and the last half of Venus retrograde that's helping us figure it out. Okay. So that's my tea. That's my astrological tea for this week ahead. And I definitely want to leave plenty of time to do some individual polls and guidance and everything like that. I'll just make a few announcements. I recently kind of reorganized, very Mercury retrograde of me. I reorganized my astrology offerings on my website. So if you go to, like, MalloryHasty.com/book-a-session, you'll see there's two astrology categories. There's the natal chart category, which is where the natal chart readings are. And the other category says astrology specializations, and that's where you'll find things like astrocartography. I have the My Kids Chart offering, which is like a parenting reading. I have a sort of a synastry reading. So there's some different specializations that I kind of put into a different category, so it doesn't look so So, so cluttered. So I'm hoping my astrology services are more organized on my website now. The other announcement for my Chicago people, Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, August 26th, I'm doing a sort of Virgo Vibes Market with a few other creators in Westtown in this really beautiful micro garden. So you can come to this micro garden, hang out, get a reading from me. There's another tarot reader, Chicago tarot reader named Natasha, that's going to be reading. There's an artist named Bree who's going to be doing fabric paintings, which is super cool. And then the owner of the garden, Emily, is going to have like bouquets and flower crowns, and you can kind of like walk around the garden. And it's going to be really fun. It's going to be like a good celebration of Virgo season. So definitely stop by if you're in Chicago and you're free Saturday morning on the 26th. We think we're going to hold it like 10 a.m. to like 1:30. So we'll see how many people show up, but that'll be fun. And then this upcoming Thursday, I have Tarot for Healing meetup at Five Point Holistic on Milwaukee. Okay, so if you're in Chicago, you haven't been to tarot meetup yet, come on down. It'll be super fun. It's been super fun. I've really enjoyed the meetups and the people who have been coming. So yeah, come join the Chicago tarot reader community. Even if you're new to tarot, you might not even have a deck. Still, come anyways. I'll bring you a deck. Just DM me. So don't let it stop you. Okay. Those are my announcements. And that's my mischievous roommate's puppy. Okay, so let's see here. Jess, you said, hey Mal, can I have a card for next week? Yeah, a card to support Jess through this next week with the Mercury retrograde stuff. We've got the Four of Wands. Okay, so I feel like maybe there's something this week. You know what it feels like? It feels like this week, although there may be some of the normal challenges at work, there's also something that's reflected back to you that maybe your team or your partner or whoever really trusts you as a competent problem solver or like a competent person who can sort of keep the harmony and the foundation together. And I think that's really special. So I think throughout the challenges this week, you're really proving, not that you have to prove it to anybody, but you're really showing both yourself and your team that like, we have a good spirit. We have a good camaraderie between the team. And I think that's really important. So if there's anything you could do this week to celebrate the success of your team, like maybe you guys go out for a group lunch or something and just bond for a second, like that could be helpful. Lauren, you said, I would love a card for the week ahead, and I'm sick and I'm working on setting boundaries at work. Okay. Five of Wands. So I think being sick and needing to rest really challenges a lot of parts of us, you know, and, getting the Five of Wands, I don't necessarily see this as people fighting with you, maybe, but it's more like the parts of you fighting with each other, you know, because I'm sure there's maybe parts of your inner child or inner young adult or parts of your conditioning that say, you know, it's not good to rest. It's not appropriate to take off work. It's not good to set boundaries at work. It's better to just work and show everybody that you can do everything. And I think you're battling this internal conflict this week. But it doesn't have to be as long of a battle as it could be, if that makes sense. Like, I'm getting the sense that Spirit's saying, you have a choice. Like, you don't actually have to fight the battle. And fighting this internal battle may keep you from getting the true rest that you need. So I think you could even wave the white flag in a way. Be like, hey, inner parts, we're actually not going to have this fight. And I'm just going to forgive myself and extend compassion and allow myself to rest. That might be the wisest choice. And that's a Mercury retrograde thing, too. We have to decide which battles, whether they be internal or external, are actually worth it, you know. My Rona recovery, you said, I have a scary medical procedure on Tuesday and could definitely use a grounding card for this week. Thank you. So we've got Six of Cups and Seven of Pentacles. So that makes me think, like, I'm sure this procedure feels really scary and it makes you feel vulnerable. And for me, the Six of Cups makes me feel like there's something about the recovery that makes you feel really loved and cared for. And don't be afraid to ask for help or just call a friend, have them come hang out with you as you're recovering. There's something there about, like, the love that surrounds you during the recovery process, the support that comes through for you during the recovery process that really shows you it's safe to ask for help. It's safe to be vulnerable. And with the Seven of Pentacles, this makes me feel like it might be best not to have healing timeline expectations, if that makes sense, because I'm sure ideally we would all like everything to be healed up within 24, 48 hours and to be back on our feet. But I think it's best in this situation to let go of any timeline expectations and just let your body go at its natural timeline, even if it's slightly slower than you originally expected. Okay, Annie, you said, can I please have a card? Yeah, Annie. Let's see here. Okay, Queen of Wands. Ooh, this is a good one, Annie. So I think with the Queen of Wands, Annie, like, there's something about maybe it's like that internal sense of empowerment that you might be finding this week when it comes to reorganizing a certain area of your life. And I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it doesn't completely make sense to me, but there's something, like, I see you actually getting something important finished. That's the thing I didn't mention. You know, Mercury retrograde can be a time of finishing the things that we've been meaning to finish, like tying up the loose ends. And if there's like a half-started job application, or if there's like something you've been meaning to do for your creative life, or, you know, even something that needed to be organized around the house, I see this week as a time to find that inner Queen of Wands. And it totally does feel, and as a person who has some ADD spectrum, I totally resonate with the feeling of like, oh my God, like, that it's gonna be so overwhelming to do this, and then you actually do it and it takes 20 minutes and you're like, well, what the fuck, like, how did I put that off for like 2 weeks? I could have just done it. You know, so that's how it feels, Annie. Alexandra, you said, can I please ask for a card of the week? Yeah. Let's see. Alexandra, you got the Fool. This is fun. I've definitely pulled the fool for you before. Yeah, I mean, we know you're finishing up a cycle right now. We know that a new beginning is pending. A new beginning is kind of coming your way, and I think this is permission to embrace the fool in a lot of ways, Alexandra, like giving yourself permission to do something different, to pursue the new beginning in some way, whatever that means to you, even if it feels kind of hectic right now with the beginning of the school year, even just if you can't do anything literally, even like just saying a prayer to your guide, saying, I embrace the new beginning, show me the way of the new beginning, I trust that the new beginning is with me. Like, anything like that could be really beneficial for shifting your energy towards this next step. Ellis, you said, can I have a card for the week ahead, specifically next weekend? Okay. Queen of Cups and Ace of Swords. I think this is a moment to trust yourself and how far you've come with being able to communicate what you're feeling emotionally, and but also trust that there are maybe some boundaries or some hard truths you're sort of communicating about how you're feeling or about how a certain person may make you feel. And I kind of learned this lesson. I just learned this lesson over and over again. I really do. But sometimes I feel like when a person makes me anxious, I tend to be like, well, is it me? And is it my attachment style? And I'm anxious attached. And that is true. But at the same time, I'm like, but if it feels like an uphill battle of anxiety to have this person in life, in your life, like, are they really meant to be there? You know, like, wouldn't the right people make you feel more relieved than this? You know, so I think there's truth in some of the emotions that you're having, Alice, and specifically with this weekend seems to be like an important conversation about emotions, or whether that's with your own self or someone else. Could be a person from the past, since it is Mercury and Venus retrograde. Sam, you said, would love a card for the week ahead. Yeah. Let's see, Sam. Eight of Cups. Okay, so I think it's a week where we're really asking ourselves, like, what are you walking towards now? Even though there's a lot of things of the past that are needing to be dealt with, it's important to balance the grief of letting go of the past with what is coming next and the forward movement and the forward motion. And it's not exactly like you thinking, it feels more like an identity, or it feels more like a feeling or a vibe that you would like to give off in the future, or like centering on future Sam self being at peace, future Sam self being content, future Sam self feeling really fulfilled in life, like future Sam self feeling loved on all levels. Like that feels like something that comes through when I see the Eight of Cups and what you're walking towards. Emmy, you said, the Virgo Vibes event looks so fun, I'm gonna have to drive up. Oh my gosh, Emmy, yeah, I wish you were in Chicago, Emmy. We'd be vibing at tarot meetup and all of these things. Corey, you said, I'd love a card for the week, please and thank you. Yeah, totally. Let's see. Corey, you got the star? Whew, okay, so this is a really, like, purifying sort of moment for you, Corey. So, I think this is good news, though. Like, something about this week feels like it gives you confirmation of why things had to pan out the way they did. It gives you meaning within the suffering, right? Not like love and lighting the suffering, but you find a new piece of why this had to play out the way it did. And there's also, I think, lots of connections and signs from the universe this week that feel really profound. And yeah, it just feels like a purifying time, Corey, where you have permission to really rebirth, if that makes sense. My Rona recovery. Oh, your connection cut out. When I save the recording, I did pull a card for you, My Rona recovery. When I save the recording, go back and I think you'll hear my message. So, but it definitely did record. Vesta, you said Mercury stations retrograde on my birthday. Can't wait. Currently facing a hurdle after hurdle to basic survival stuff. Could def use a card on guidance. Okay. Yeah. Ten of Cups. You're like, what? Ten of Cups. I think Ten of Cups can sometimes come through as like a living on a prayer, like hope. Hope is sometimes great to have, but we can't always just function off of like a hope or a fantasy or an ideal outcome, if that makes sense. And this is actually kind of giving me the feeling, I don't mean to bring myself into this, Saint Vesta, but, you know, this feeling of the card is reminding me of literally, like, the hell that I was in, the personal hell that I was in, like, I mean, it was more like the last year to the last, like, yeah, the last year of me living with my parents, and I was like, God, like, I really need to get out of here, but, like, I am too, quite frankly, I'm, like, too insecure about my business to really carry the weight of that and make my business the entire financial thing for me, because living in Chicago is so expensive, and my cost of living in Chicago is really expensive, and when I say I'm insecure about my business, it's not at all that I'm insecure about the work that I do. It's you know, for me, I feel like that's the part of my life that I actually feel most secure in. Like, I feel most secure in, like, oh wow, like, I can sit with this person and we can have a meaningful conversation and it makes a difference. Like, I'm very I feel very aligned with that, but insecure financially, quite frankly. I also have Mars in my second house and a south node in Taurus, so you know, it's definitely part of my karmic contract. But anyways, there was this Ten of Cups thing that I was holding on to, where I was like, I need to make this much money in order to move out, and my business needs to have this much success in order for me to move out. But it got to a point where I was like, I just need to fucking move out. Like, I can't be holding on to this fantasy of being like X, Y, and Z astrologer making this much money, because it's just not the reality right now. So I need to move out and I need to get a part-time job and I need to lose that fantasy for just a second and accept that it'll come back later at a better time, or there's something mixed in here where it is actually aligned to have another stream of income besides my business, right? So that's when I moved to Chicago. I got a part-time job at Whole Foods for like 6 months, and I hustled, and then I found a much more aligned part-time job at Five Point, which is an acupuncture clinic that my client owns in the Chicagoland area. So, and working at Five Point has been great because I get to work with a bunch of healers, and I get to have my tarot meet up there, and I get to meet a bunch of new people, and blah, blah, blah. So anyways, can I just say, like, am I living the fantasy that I thought I was heading towards of, like, being this, like, independent astrologer, making bank at their own business? I mean, not currently. This might be part of my Saturn return, but in accepting the reality of, like, the financial stuff that's going on and just being like, yeah, like, I do need to get a part-time job, and I'm so much happier accepting the reality of the situation versus hoping for a fantasy to come true where, yeah. And Vesa, same Vesa, I hope that somehow makes sense to your situation. And I wouldn't have told that story unless I felt like it was relevant for some reason. But yeah, sometimes the Ten of Cups tells us lose the fantasy, accept the reality, and the reality of it might actually be better than the fantasy because the reality is grounded in something tangible. Blue Moon Cocoon, I would love a card for my upcoming 2-week vacation to see my family. Yeah, let's see. Page of Wands. Okay. I think it's going to be really fun. It's going to be a time to be adventurous and like your silly goose self. But I also think it's a time to also focus in on how to care for your inner child during this time. And I think there's something... Page of Wands sometimes is that inner child that's like goofy and creative and spontaneous and maybe a little like ADD and like kind of all over the place, and adults are always telling them like, shh, calm down, you're embarrassing us. You know, like you're too much, you know, or like you're bouncing off the walls, like you gotta tie it in, you know. And I think you really need to talk to that part of your inner child before this family vacation and be like, yo, it's okay. It's okay to be silly. It's okay to be yourself. You know, maybe your parents can't access that part of their inner child as well as you can. But, you know, I think it's like you need to tell that part of your inner child, like, you're safe with me, you know, with me as your parent, you know. Alexander, you said last week there were some changes at work and shook the whole boat. It left me with the weird feeling in my heart. Okay. I hope the Fool resonated, Alexandra. That would make sense. And also going back to the Fool, Alexandra, I think it's reflecting too. Like the universe is also reflecting, like, okay, this is probably your last chapter at this job. And what does the next chapter look like, right? Oh, Annie, I'm excited for you in this new interview. And Alexandra, you said, thank you, Mel. That message leaves me with a more positive feeling for the week ahead. Thank you. Cannot wait to travel there and meet you in person. Yeah, oh, Alexandra, yeah, tell me when, and we'll have lunch or whatever. Saint Vesa, you said, I'm in the same boat. I feel you. Thanks, Mel. Yeah, Saint Vesa, I don't know if you have your own astrology or tarot business, but if you ever want to chat, DM me and I'll tell you more. I'll tell you more about my frustrations with the the this image of the witch, the sort of tarot reader, the astrologer, like successful entrepreneur thing that we see on Instagram. And like, quite frankly, most of these full-time witches, we could say, have a partner, they're married, they're on their partner's insurance. You know, like, if they had a bad month for business, it wouldn't be that much of an issue. And that's not me being salty, it's just the reality of the situation. Like, a lot of these full-time people that are doing this aren't single, aren't struggling, don't have to pay astronomical rent. There's some kind of eighth house generational thing that comes through for them that allows them either like, oh, my parents let me live in this house, or my partner makes a lot of money, and you know, and it's just, it's a, and then these people have the gumption to make, like, now I'm venting, whatever, but these people have the gumption to make these, like, coaching programs and be like, yeah, let me coach you on how to be a full-time entrepreneur. It's like, yeah, coach me on how to be a full-time entrepreneur in late-stage capitalism when my rent is XYZ. Like, it's just, it's dumb. But I could talk more about that. I could talk more about that to you privately, Saint Vesta. Anyways. That's my tea, my friends. That's the tea for the few people that are still here. Lots of love to you guys. If you missed the beginning, I did a Venus retrograde, Venus retrograde and a Mercury retrograde update for the week ahead. So go back and watch the recording of the beginning. And yeah, I'm wishing you all a grounded as possible week ahead with the Mercury station. And we'll talk again soon. Okay, bye, friends.